This is The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. on Canada Talks, SiriusXM 167.
Hello and welcome to The Feed with Amber Mack.
And Michael B. for everything new now and next.
We have you covered for what's happening in the world of tech and what's trending online.
On the show, we tell you more about Richard Branson's historic trip to space.
Plus, we break down what you need to know about the right to repair movement.
Also on the show, how to help your kids build their own business this summer.
And we introduce you to Casablanca, the Tinder of real estate.
That's all coming up right here on The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B.
This episode of The Feed is powered by TP-Link. TP-Link routers and technology can remove wireless pain points in your home so you have better performance for working, streaming, and gaming.
Trending up.
Well, 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 Miss Amber Mack, you have been busy makeshift renovating out in PEI with a little studio. If anyone hasn't checked this out, it is beautiful slash genius. What have you? So you and also everyone listening, she's supposed to be on holidays. And
true.
Continue.
Well, I will just say that I'm not in that particular house right now. I'm out at our little beach house, which our family just bought a few weeks ago. And I wish it was in our studio in the city of Charlottetown, because I wouldn't be so worried about my audio and Wi-Fi. But nonetheless, you're right. So we bought a new house, actually a 140-year-old house in Charlottetown a couple of years ago. We're here for the month. We set up a makeshift studio in the loft. And actually, it's worked out so well. It's quiet. The sound is great. We have great Wi-Fi there. And that's been really fun. And eventually over the next year, we're going to start doing more work on this beach house. I did a virtual keynote in the studio earlier this week. And apparently I don't know how to holiday. So there you go.
Just so she doesn't know how to sit still and do nothing. She's always doing something, cleaning a surface, taking somebody somewhere, doing a keynote, tweeting. I think you're one of the busiest and most active people I know.
Well, yeah, we just bought a little boat. And so now I'm taking my boating license.
Oh, my God, that's amazing. Captain Amber.
Thank you. I like the sound
of
that.
I'm so excited.
Okay?
Oh, that is forever known henceforth. All right, let's get to it. What are people talking about?
All right. So this is a big story. Google, according to the Wall Street Journal, has been fined almost $600 million in France over their treatment of news publishers. Now, if you have watched what's been happening with local news and news publishers, you know they've been decimated in terms of how much of the market share these social platforms take from them and how much traffic they get from articles shared on their platform. And we're always kind of looking for a better scenario that would also help to invest back into news businesses. Facebook had a big fight with Australia. Michael, we talked about this on the show a while ago in terms of the same sort of scenario. And France has always been quite aggressive in stepping up and fining these big tech companies when they feel that they've overstepped.
So do you think that we're going to see more and more of this? And is there, and I've been thinking about this for quite some time now, is there a line where we could go too far and it could start to backfire on any services or the way they do businesses or business, or it could end up hurting us in the long? Because I understand that they should be paying for sure for content they use or repurpose or post from third parties, like absolutely, because obviously everyone knows that it's very difficult to continue to operate, you know, news and, mm-hmm. and, you know, I just wonder, you know, is there a point where a Google or a Facebook or Twitter or whoever, they just like, we're done, and they kind of flip and change their business model and it makes it even worse for us?
Well, I think we've seen, you know, Google as one example, step up and put more money into local news, and that's always a good thing. But, oftentimes, I think what we see with some of these big tech companies is that there's sometimes band-aid solutions, right? You know, it's a little bit here, a little bit there, and they won't totally be able to fix what has been broken. And that would be my concern. And so I don't think it's their responsibility solely. I mean, I think perhaps government could get involved. There could be private businesses. I don't know. But this is a big issue in terms of the news marketplace, so to speak, and the deterioration of some of these companies. And also the companies themselves, especially the bigger ones who have gobbled up all these local news stations, I should say even newspapers, they have a responsibility too. And I just don't know how they're all going to work together to fix this. It would be a miracle.
I think you're absolutely right. Headline news. All right. You know what did make headlines was Richard Branson, which is a founder of Virgin Galactic. He went to space. And this was pretty okay. So, regardless, everyone's aware he went to space. First astronaut on the books for Virgin Galactic. It opens up space tourism for the future. Regardless on your feelings of this, the sheer technology and the step forward that was made by this, I think people need to understand, because just the technology itself, and I'm going to geek out a little bit about this, but basically the spaceship too, it uses what's called a feathering system to raise its wings, and it's mimicking the shape of a badminton shuttlecock to reorientate the vehicle as it begins to fall back to Earth. Just that sheer technology and innovation that, you know, the company came up with to do that, they're able to make it turn, it starts like a pod and then turn it into like a plane and then land again on the runway that it took off from. Just think about that. That to me was just hands down simply amazing and inspiring and positive.
Yeah, it was quite amazing to watch that, and an incredible accomplishment. Okay, we're going to hear from another hero, this one in the tech world, Steve Wozniak, who is one of Apple's co-founders. He has recently come out to defend the right to repair movement. And just quickly, what that means is right now, if you wanted to get an Apple device repaired, you would have to go to a certified technician. But essentially, what many people are saying is that it does make sense for more people to be able to repair these phones. It would be less expensive for individuals who own them, and it would give you the right, once you bought something, to actually get it repaired. So this is a really cool movement to keep an eye on, and we will do just that. And I'm glad that the Woz has come out to support that. Very, very cool.
He certainly has. Well, stay with us. When we return, Shopify joins us to talk about e-commerce for kids.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. For everything new, now and next on Canada Talks, Sirius XM 167. In the Spotlight.
All right, if you want to inspire and fuel your kids' curiosity with a little help from online commerce platform Shopify, you definitely need to check out their new free business starter kit that is designed exclusively for kids. And to talk more about this is Courtney Simons, who's editor-in-chief at Shopify. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, Amber. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. And I have to say, just last week, we were speaking about e-commerce for kids and how more and more kids want to get their own businesses up and running. So tell us a little bit about the story behind this business starter kit and why Shopify decided to move in this direction to serve the next generation.
Yeah, well, you touched on it right there. You know, we believe that the world needs more entrepreneurs, and we want to make it easier for businesses of all kinds to succeed. And of course, that involves looking to that next generation that might not even know what the word entrepreneur means yet. But we really believe that those entrepreneurial skills can help kids develop things like problem solving and creative thinking and teamwork and leadership. And so we really wanted to lean into something that could help develop those skills. But paired with that is just the time and place we're in. You know, we know parents are looking for creative things for their kids right now. Kids are tired of screen time, Zoom fatigue, all of this. We thought, why not create something just in time for the holiday, you know, the summer holidays, where kids can have some self-directed, creative thinking that helps them fuel some curiosity. And that is where the idea for the kit came from.
So looking at the bigger picture, is that the biggest problem, that the dots aren't connected for kids when they get older and they understand what entrepreneurship is, what it means to start a business, and how rewarding it can be?
I think you're right. I think a lot of kids don't see a business as a viable career opportunity, you know, and we sort of need to give kids role models and examples of this is something that could be a valuable and rewarding career path for you. So by introducing kids to this idea early, they can learn to develop business ideas. They can learn that their first business idea probably isn't going to be the best one, and that's okay. It's all about taking those risks and challenging yourself. And I really do think by introducing kids to that concept earlier on, it'll help set them up for success later.
Tell us about what's different in terms of designing a business starter kit for kids versus adults.
A lot of it is just not assuming that they understand the terms and concepts you are bringing up. You know, we had to be mindful to actually define what the word entrepreneur means, leaning into what is a brand, what's a logo, why are these things important, and how do we make sure that we remember that these are just kids. You know, they want to have fun, they want to be hooked and enjoy the experience. It can't just be a grueling business plan that a grown-up might be ready to sit down and create. So it was all about leaning into tactile experiences. What are things that these kids can do and feel with their own hands? So we included things like perforated business cards, so kids can create their own business cards, even t-shirt transfer paper. So once they come up with a logo, they can actually print off a t-shirt of their very own, and those sort of tangible, tactile experiences that really lean into creativity and away from that maybe boring business plan. That's really was the key difference for us when designing this kit.
So speaking of what specifically is inside the kit, how did you go about the educational components themselves? Who did you speak to and how did you bring that together? Because I imagine that, yes, you want that tactile experience and that fun component, but you really are helping educate them and growing to hopefully become budding entrepreneurs when they get older.
It's a great question. And we wanted to make sure that, you know, it's not an official curriculum, right? This kit won't be in a classroom tomorrow, but we did do a lot of consulting with different educators and people who think about kids and how they learn. And it sort of led us to creating this kit that's 44 pages of all kinds of different activities, all of them that can be done all on their own, sort of self-directed learning, with the idea that really we want to inspire them to want to learn more and have it feel a little bit less like they're back in school and, you know, they've just done that. They're ready for the summertime.
What have you heard from kids who've had a chance to check it out so far? Because I'm always impressed with business ideas from younger people because they just, again, don't have these barriers or limitations sometimes that we adults put in front of us.
It's so true. We didn't want to be too prescriptive in this kit because that's the beauty of creativity. Who knows what their young minds could dream up? And so it's early days. We've just launched this kit. But what we've heard so far is that kids are taking it in all kinds of directions. You've got the classical lemonade stands, you know, maybe selling some baked goods, but there's kids who are painting rocks and selling them. There's service-based businesses emerging of kids willing to mow the lawn or, you know, deliver newspapers, all types of things that just sort of really lean into what their creative passions are. That's one of the exercises within the kit is just challenging kids to think about, what are you passionate about? Do you love sports? Do you love art or drawing? You know, maybe you're going to be drawing some pet portraits for your neighbors, really opening up kids' minds to what they enjoy and allowing them to think about what business could fall from that passion.
It's pretty interesting. Those questions, I think, would work for adults as well. So speaking of dreaming up ideas, last question for you. Anybody, no matter what their age, when they are thinking about becoming a founder or making a company, what's your best piece of advice, coming from Shopify, one of the largest in the world that helps people bring their ideas to reality? What's your best piece of advice for someone who's just been always thinking about it, but just hasn't quite got there yet, hasn't, you know, got the courage to do it yet?
I think it's about remembering your why. You know, the what is important. You have to figure out what your business is, what you're selling or creating. But more important even is why you're doing it. Why does it matter? Why does it need to be you? Why are you uniquely qualified to be the person who brings this business idea into the world? Because humans love stories. And if you're missing that why, if you don't have that passion behind it, it doesn't land as compellingly and it won't be as fulfilling for you as a business owner as well. So remember the why.
All right. So just to wrap up, because I know people are listening thinking, okay, where do I get one of these kits? How do I get one of these kits? What if I don't live in Canada? Can you just quickly answer those three questions for us before we let you go?
Absolutely. So you go to shopify.com/kids. You'll find the kit there. It is for free. It'll ship in a couple of weeks. It's available for anyone in Canada as well as the United States. So we just expanded to all of North America. And the kit's recommended for kids between the ages of 9 to 12, but anywhere a little lower and a little higher would probably be a great fit as well.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Up next, how to build Lego creations with an easy-to-use AR app.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. For everything new, now and next on Canada Talks, Sirius XM 167. Aptastic.
All right, it's time for our favorite part of the show, and that, of course, is new and trending apps. Michael, I love this one because I'm obsessed with looking at real estate.
I thought you'd love this one.
Casablanca, and it's a new smartphone app that positions itself as the Tinder or Bumble of the real estate industry. And a lot of people have spent more time at home during the past months, kind of just daydreaming about maybe where they want to live, especially if they're lucky enough to be able to work remotely.
Yeah, no, this is really cool. Actually, also, just a side note, how I stumbled upon this is actually it's women owned and operated as well. So I thought this was also a great one to highlight. I have been guilty, just like as you just said, a lot of people, I have been looking at a particular neighborhood in the US and California where I'd like to live. And I keep looking at the houses. I can't afford any of them, but by golly, they're beautiful. So I've been looking at all of the different ways. How could I afford this? But this app is really neat. And you should check it out. It's got all of the listings specifically in New York City at the moment. They've obviously got plans to expand. And they've got all the personalized touches that you would expect from scheduling showings and different selections that are based on your original search. So whether you might be looking at something specifically, it kind of learns over time of what you may like and give you recommendations based on that as well. So it's really quite a good app.
Yeah, it's very cool. And I do love the idea that you can kind of swipe if you like something. I mean, most of the real estate sites are, some of them are pretty clumsy to find your way around. So it appears as though they've taken one of the better user experiences that we've seen out there in terms of how dating apps work and just introduce some of those features that people are comfortable with and they love.
You know what I thought you'd love? There's a feature in this because I know you love to renovate. And if anyone hasn't seen what Amber did to a beautiful home in Prince Edward Island, there's actually parts to put in. You can customize your options where if you like renovation options, personal lifestyle considerations, your unique style. So you can add in all these extra things that then go into suggesting the place that you may end up wanting to purchase. So I thought that was a really good idea of the possibilities of what you could do and renovate the ability to do that as well. Because I know a lot of people do go to be like, what can I do to fix it up or improve the value and flip it and all those kinds of things.
Yes, absolutely. Or if you want to get back to reality, for most people, especially parents, it's stepping on Lego bricks and being at home with kids screaming because they're bored and don't have stuff to do. So, Michael, this next app will help.
Yeah, definitely. This one is called the Brickit app, and it gives you ideas and tools to build new creations with your Lego bricks. So if you aren't finding the inspiration to be creative on your own, this app can actually help you with all kinds of designs and shapes and things to build with your Lego bricks.
It's super, super fun. So basically you just open up the app on your phone. I believe it's iPhone only right now. You can point it at a pile of Lego bricks. And funny enough, Michael, I don't know if you realize this, but it's not as easy to find loose Lego bricks anymore. Everything is kind of prescriptive. Like you buy something to build that thing. It's not like when we were little kids, we just got a box of Lego. So I think it's neat that now you can take your camera and on your phone and point it at a pile of Lego bricks, and it will give you ideas as far as what you may or could build from those Lego bricks. So it's really, really creative and a lot of wonderful reviews as well. And again, just kind of getting kids to think outside the box, no pun intended.
Isn't that crazy, though, if you think about this technology, just the sheer speed that it could do something like that. So as you just said, like you take your camera, you take a picture of a pile of bricks, and within seconds, it will then suggest what you could or couldn't like construct from that pile of bricks. I mean, that's pretty amazing, because I remember sitting there as kids, we'd be staring. I mean, we didn't really think, we just built walls and then hope they stood up.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And that's why I mentioned that this has a lot of good reviews, because people just love this idea. And it's not, again, I don't think it takes away from the fact that you still get to be creative and come up with your own creations with Lego bricks, but it just spurs maybe ideas and you can take it in new directions. And I think that especially for those people, myself included, who have huge bins of Lego in our homes, it gives almost new life to those Lego bricks and an opportunity to just reimagine them through the lens of emerging tech like augmented reality.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. I do have to say, though, the guys behind this are pretty quick to say, you know, this is a third party app. They're not associated with the Lego group. But I would argue, I'm surprised the Lego group hasn't developed or designed or done something similar to this. And if I'm wrong, if they have, let us know. Of course, you can always let us know about new apps anytime. So happy to be corrected. But I just think this is a neat app.
Yeah, it would make so much sense for them to have it as part of their digital portfolio at Lego. So who knows what may happen. Okay, next up, we're going to talk about an app. And I'm going to be honest with you. I read this over and over again, and I keep thinking about the A-Team, as in...
Hey, me too. That's why actually I picked it. But then I was like, oh, it makes sense after I read it. Because at the first, yeah, that's the only reason I did pick it was the name. But this does make really good sense. And I think that we're seeing this more and more with these types of apps.
Yeah, so it's an app that is a dating app, and you have to be a member to participate. And it's for people who are health and fitness addicts. They use the word addict. I mean, I would say enthusiast would be a more appropriate word to use.
Yeah. And, well, your priorities are inclined to a healthy priorities,
yes,
of your
something
life,
something like that. Basically, it will help you connect with people who are also just living the same kind of life, and it makes a lot of sense to me. In fact, I think, you know, you could see people who want to date other people who have that shared lifestyle mindset and that commitment to health as well. So, you know, because it's frustrating if you're into fitness and your partner isn't, and you know, it becomes a bit of a mismatch at times, I think.
And also, it's a great opportunity, which the app says too, for networking, or even if you're just wanting to make friends. And a lot of people do like working out with friends. So this could be a place to find your next gym buddy or your next running partner. And again, they're like-minded and committed to the same healthy choices that you are. So it makes it a little bit easier too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also, I think we're going to see more and more of this, of people kind of, and we'll talk about this later on in the show, just jumping back on that health and fitness bandwagon. You know, maybe you fell off, you couldn't go to your gym. Maybe that was part of your social life. I mean, I actually missed that part of the gym, just being with friends. And that was kind of one of the few times I had a chance to be with people and, you know, just really enjoyed being part of that community. So this makes sense. I feel like this app will probably do really well, especially post-pandemic, as people are focusing again on health and fitness. And we're going to talk about that a lot later on in the show, because it's something all of us have been thinking more seriously about.
Absolutely. The thing I miss most is other people around exercising. They gave me the motivation to go harder. So those apps again that we covered, we've got Casablanca, we've got the Bricket app and the A-Team. Be careful to say it when you say Bricket. If you say it too fast, it could sound like something else and your parents will get mad. Now, if you've got an app, gadget or product you think we should check out, tweet us at Amber Mac and at AmBancroft80 and use the hashtag TheFeed. Coming up, how new AI technology could replace news anchors.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. For everything new, now and next on Canada Talks, Sirius XM 167. Techstar.
You're listening to The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. Now you can create on-screen lifelike presenters using artificial intelligence that can speak any preset text, complete with natural facial expressions as well as gestures. Now, the technology is made by startup Aura One, and its CEO, Oren Aharon, is joining us now. This is pretty impressive technology. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's start with Aura One. What was your mission? What was your goal? What did you set out to do to accomplish using artificial intelligence in this way?
Okay, Michael and Amber, thank you for having me today. So the goal of what we've built is to improve the future of communications for businesses today and individuals later in the future. We thought that with technology, we can do it in a mass scale in a better way. And I would be happy to explain how it works.
Well, we absolutely want to hear how it works because we imagine a number of scenarios in terms of these synthetic humans. We've heard about synthetic humans possibly replacing teachers or even news anchors. So let's talk about how you are actually able to do this and all of the technology behind the brand.
Happy to do that. So R1 has a platform that enables a new type of video creation. It's powered by AI presenters that look and behave like real humans in an undetectable way. Yes, really. You look at him and you understand, and you think this is a real human, but actually it's a video that is generated from computers. And the way it works is that the presenters are based on real people who we digitize with our technology and their permission, and we actually pay them. So these characters, these presenters exist on our system. And then customers log on and they, in a very easy process, select presenters, type in their text, choose voice, choose language. They can also, choose the background. It could be an image, it could be a video, music and everything in a very simple process. You don't need to understand any video in any form. Just like writing a Word document, it's a very simple process. And you hit enter and you get the video. And the idea is that everybody will be able to use it in a mass scale and basically express their ideas with a face and with a voice and with a very interesting narrative, combining all of these aspects together.
I can see how appealing the personalization aspect of this technology could be for people, but I'm curious, how accurate is the experience? Because obviously when you are interacting with a person, sometimes they can, and there's certain nuances in the language and the way people say things that you can often read into things and it can go off on a different kind of conversation. So how does the technology try and emulate that?
Great. So R1 is using neural net technology, which is, the latest revolution in the last couple of, maybe 5-7 years. But in the last couple of years, a new type of technology, which is a creative type of neural net, exists. And this type of technology learns how a person talks, how he speaks, how he smiles, how he blinks and moves his head. And it's basically learning. So when you learn, eventually you can get to the position where you imitate the person in a very good way. And all of these text-to-voice and voice-to-video technologies that we are part of are actually doing it today. And the improvement is amazing. In the past year, it's totally amazing. And we are running Turing tests to see if people can recognize if it's a true person or not. And, you know, the answer is no. People cannot recognize today that we are generating these videos from computers.
So let's talk about the goal in terms of these synthetic humans in society, because I'm sure this scares a lot of people as far as the future of work.
Totally correct. So people are thinking about the future and they're saying these technologies will replace people. But actually what we are doing is enabling a new way to create a better experience for users. And we keep the jobs there. Nobody is, you know, getting fired because there is a video with a character. So let me give you one example. I think that will make everything very clear. We have a nice, great partnership with Berlitz. And Berlitz is a 140 years old business, right? Everybody knows them, language school. And it was very important for them to create content without losing the human touch. So before, yes, they had courses where they filmed the studio, in a studio, the class with a teacher. But this is not scalable today. I mean, it really doesn't scale in terms of the amount of video you need to create because, you know, eyeballs, everybody are watching videos all the time and the amount of content is amazing. So R1 searched for Berlitz searched for technologies and they found us and they tested a lot of companies and with our content, they've seen that it's very accurate in the way that you actually express the words and you see the lips moving and the tongue and the teeth and everything is very important in language learning. This is why they chose us. And today, basically, they are using our technology to create masses of videos in different languages and teach people around the world. And the outcome is amazing because language learning is accessible for many people because, you know, that helps the price to go down and enables the technology to reach everyone, which was not possible before. So I think eventually society earns from the technology, and this is what we see actually with them, just as an example.
So what does the future look like with the technology in creating photoreal presenters? You've given some great examples of how it's being used today, but are there some scenarios that people just might not have thought of that you're working on and hope to see this technology implemented and rolled out in?
Yes, so it's a great question. And talking about the future, you can talk about it from two perspectives. One is the accessibility of video to anyone. So think about people, thinking about Word documents before there was Word. So people said, maybe lawyers will use it, right? But today, you cannot even start expressing your ideas without going and writing them on some form of document. And everybody are using it. So we think that in a year, two, three, everybody will start doing creating videos and expressing their ideas, not just in words, but also in a visual audio and visual way. That will make the content much more interesting. And as you know, TikTok today, in the past 2 weeks, you know, became even bigger than Facebook and YouTube. And everybody wants video. So video is the answer. And now we enable everyone to go and do it. And in terms of how people will use it, I think we will see a huge amount of creativity in this space. For example, people will get interviewed by these synthetic characters. People will actually transition themselves into a character and maybe speak with their grandchildren. I don't know. So many other ideas that people are talking about, and we are just at the hour one point where everything will get started again. And I think it will influence the entire internet eventually.
Well, it sounds very cool, and we encourage people to check out the company. Again, it is called Hour One, and we appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you so much. Happy to get people on board and see how they use the system and actually enjoy the process. That's the most important part.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Well, stay with us. Up next, we're going to talk about how gamified fitness is using money as motivation.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. For everything new, now and next on Canada Talks, Sirius XM 167.
All right, so welcome back to The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. We are going to talk now about gamifying exercise. And this is a new platform that, according to TechCrunch, just got $1.5 million. The platform is called Kudu, and they're gamifying fitness with betting challenges. So yes, this startup is making it really more competitive in terms of your fitness routine and using money to motivate people to get off the couch. It's an app that's been around since 2018, Michael, but last year they decided to focus more on having those financial rewards and tying it to a specific goal. So, you know, we're talking a lot about health and fitness on the show today. Great timing probably for them.
This is really interesting and fascinating to me because when you think about it, you know, people really don't want to part with their money. And so this does make total sense because you are more likely to think about the fact that you might have committed to something and then not followed through and lost $50 or $100 or whatever it is. But now you're getting this ability to earn $100, $200, whatever it is from other people by being healthy and being successful at being healthy. I mean, somebody else is going to pay you to actually be healthy. I'm like, wow, yes, please. Because I mean, you know, Amber, you and I have been talking about this throughout the pandemic, and we're going to talk about it at the end of the show. But, you know, I've struggled through the pandemic to be motivated, to be able to exercise. You know, we live in a part of the world where, you know, a lot of the time it was minus 20 degrees. It's not that enjoyable to be outside, you know, and if you're in a tiny little apartment like I was, like not much room to exercise. So I need motivation. So I think definitely my hard-earned money, 100% I would be showing up.
Yeah. And what I kind of think is especially cool about this is how they use technology to verify that you have been working out. So in the TechCrunch article, they talked about the fact that they are able to use API data from activity trackers and fitness apps. So it's kind of a fancy way to say that if you have a wearable as one example, they would be able to link up to that information to be able to verify that if you did commit to maybe running 5 kilometers a day for the whole month, that you were actually doing so. And I want to point this out, Michael, because I know what you're thinking. And the answer is no, you cannot attach your wearable to your dog, because they say that Kudu is smart enough to detect if someone has attached their Fitbit to their dog. So that is not an option for people who want to cheat the system.
So it's so funny because I was thinking on the long lines, but what I was going to say was, which you're going to love this, I watched a movie on Netflix and it was called Set It Up, and it had Lucy Liu in it, and she was competing with somebody on her Fitbit or her tracker or whatever it was, and she was too busy to do it. So she made her assistant wear it. So you see a scene where the assistant is literally just running around the office as much as possible to get the steps up. So I was thinking, like, I'm sure there are people out there that were trying to work out how they could cheat the system. I mean, because money's on the line, people. What I think the purpose is and what people should be focusing on is your health and wellness is on the line. And that's most important.
Yeah. And if you're wondering about the business model, the TechCrunch article does dive into that as well, where they explain that the model is based on taking a fee from the challenge losers. So it does pay to win.
So it doesn't take any money. Yeah, pays to win. Perfect.
It says taking a fee from them. So, there, you know, it could be from a combination of places. But the idea is that you need to keep your goal in place. And if you don't achieve that goal, and let's be honest, a lot of people won't, right? I mean, maybe they will now that there's money at stake, but I've done fitness challenges in the past, and there's always people who fall off after a day or a week, and for whatever reason that may be. So it does make sense that, you know, maybe this company could make a lot of money just from people not accomplishing things, which wouldn't necessarily be a good business model. That would be kind of like, right, Blockbuster taking late fees, and we know how that went.
Well, in fairness, like, you hopefully the motivation is that you get so furious that you paid the fees because you lost to them that it makes you want to win more. And so you put in more effort. I don't know. I'm trying to be as positive as possible. I'm like, come on, people, get off the couch. It's better for everybody. But it is interesting. So the challenges that they typically set, you can join anywhere from 50 to 100 people will participate. And it's all kinds of stuff that you would expect to see. So there's running challenges, walking, steps, all kinds of stuff. So it can be very basic as well. It doesn't have to be this hardcore, crazy fitness that you're thinking. And everybody works at a different pace. And obviously getting back into things, you want to take it easy as well. So it's kind of neat.
Yeah, and you should check out the website, kadoo.io, because they break down how the challenges work. They also specify that this platform works with running apps like Strava and Google Fit and iOS Health. So quite a few platforms do, in fact, integrate. And they also mentioned that they have paid out $280,000 already to challenge winners. I mean, obviously, these are micropayments, so relatively small. But I do think this is kind of fun for people who, again, are motivated by just making a few dollars and keeping up to date with things. I'm always of the mindset that whatever helps people stay healthy, that can be a good thing.
Do you remember, this is just going blast from the past, do you remember you and I did, I think it was the Nike wristband thing back in the day on App Central, and we did compete. And I think we did it for quite like a few months to get moving and competing against each other from a steps and movement perspective. It worked for a few months at least.
Yeah, you know what I think about a lot, Michael? I know we have to wrap up, but when you came to visit me in Florida a few years ago, I remember that you and I just did like a 10K run for fun, and we hadn't run in a while. And now I would probably be in a pool of my own tears.
Yeah, well, me too. And I think like, we'd just be like, do you think we should just walk?
Yeah. Like, yeah, walking seems like a better idea. So we can get back to that point, and maybe we'll be motivated by Kadoo, and you can check them out online, as I mentioned, and see if maybe that is the app or the platform that will get you back in shape for 2021.
All right. Well, stay with us. Socially Speaking is up next. When we come back, we will talk about the future of wellness, continue our conversation, and we will look at our post-pandemic recovery, what that looks like.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B. For everything new, now and next on Canada Talks, Sirius XM 167. Socially Speaking.
It's time now for Socially Speaking. Before we get to that, a reminder that this episode of The Feed is powered by TP-Link. TP-Link routers and technology can remove wireless pain points in your home so you have better performance for working, streaming, and gaming. And speaking of gaming, the TP-Link Archer GX90 AX6600 gaming router will give the gamers in your home greater capacity and low latency. Plus, the Archer GX90 is equipped with Wi-Fi 6, so they can game in the fast lane without disrupting other online activities. For gamers, that means no more lagging in the middle of a crucial shot, so their network speeds are as fast as their reaction needs. The Archer GX90 is easy to set up in minutes using the Tether app, and for more information, you can visit TP-Link online. Okay, guys, we are going to dive into Socially Speaking. And this week, I wanted to share a quote that I found in Forbes online. And they were talking about our post-pandemic recovery and what's important for leaders and employers. And I pulled this line out because I thought it was incredibly pertinent right now. They said in the article that the pandemic was all about sickness and, of course, preventing sickness. And the byproduct is a sense of future wellness. The idea being that we have been focusing so much on people getting sick, how to prevent sickness, but there's going to be a pendulum swing, and that will be towards, hey, it's now time to start getting back to taking care of ourselves and wellness. Michael, let me start with you. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm not saying that you weren't taking care of yourself during the past year and a half.
No, you can be completely honest because you and I are very close, and I am more than happy to be very honest in this instance, because I, like everybody else, I fell off the wagon and it was horrible.
Yeah, no, myself as well. I mean, in terms of just, you know, trying to stay isolated, and that meant less activity. So, Michael, are you feeling now like maybe a little bit of a window's opening up where you can get back to those things that you care about? And I know those are health and fitness.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, it's interesting that we're doing this topic. So the day that we're recording this show is the day that I start 6 weeks every single day exercising. I'm actually in a different place now. I have left Toronto. I've been very lucky. I'm double vaccinated. And my goal for the next 6 weeks, very kind friends have let me use their homes. They have gym, and I'm going to be working out every day and sleeping better. And at the same time, and doing a schedule, going outside as much. And I've been very meticulous in scheduling my health and wellness every single day for the next 6 weeks. And it's because I need a reset of my body. So mentally, my health deteriorated. Physically, my body, from I used to be a competitive athlete in triathlons, I am the most unfit. I struggle getting upstairs. So I found that I'm shorter with people. I'm very irritable. I'm not used to interacting with people in person, and little things bother me. So I'm very mindful of it. And I think that a lot of people can relate. And I think that you do have to be diligent. You do have to schedule in. You do have to stick to it, because your health and your wellness and your mental state is the most important thing you have for you and everybody that you interact or around you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And you know, I've had a similar experience. You know, again, it's about preventing sickness, right? So, Aaron, I just wanted to ask you what your experience has been, because I know you love to bike and you love to do stuff outside. You know, some people have actually gotten healthier during COVID. I am not one of those people, nor is Michael.
Yeah, no, certainly not me as well. I do like to bike for fun. I was biking for a purpose to work or to bike my son to school. And then when school is shut down and the office is shut down, there's a lot less reason to bike. I feel like the mind-body wellness connection was already there in the workplace, considering a lot of workplaces and large companies cover through their extended benefits things like registered massage therapy, certain kinds of acupuncture, chiropractic. Some of them cover psychotherapy or mental health coverage, depending on the company or depending on the coverage. And I think that workplaces know that mind, body, all those things can help make for happier, healthier workers, which can lead to more productivity.
And more productive. Yeah. Like productivity, yeah. Right, Aaron?
Yeah, exactly. And that's a debate whether that's a justifiable end goal for if it's better for the individual or better for the company. I guess that's a separate debate. And I feel like depending on your jurisdiction, whatever state or province you might be sitting in right now, those ancillary services might have been closed for 6, 12, 15, 18 months, which probably had an effect on all people. So as the services reopen, I think the larger corporations that have extended benefits are going to see a big uptick in them. And then as people return to the office, in my office, people would do lunchtime yoga. And good on them. And, you know, lunchtime registered massage therapy, good on them as well. I think we're going to see an uptick in all those services maybe before a leveling off.
And I honestly think this could be a great thing. And I think the opportunity is massive, you know, not just for employers and leaders, but I think for all of us and even for entrepreneurs and businesses. I think people are going to start to focus more on health and wellness in the future and start to put it at the top of the list. And also, Michael, I'd be curious, because I know you interview a lot of CEOs. I would also say that it's almost one of the first times in our history in the business world where CEOs and leaders are more and more responsible for the health of individuals. Now they have to worry about health safety when people are coming into the office. And so it's almost a whole new layer to their role.
And I think also what surprised me and is actually great to see is how more personable leaders have become because of the pandemic. And what I mean by that is they're far more aware of more than just the bottom line and getting work done. They understand the value of their employees, and they understand the support network they should be supplying and their responsibility. So I think that we've seen a lot of leaders step up, and I think that we're going to see that change in the way leadership is now done moving forward. And hopefully that then means that employees will start to appreciate and respect the companies and leadership that they have who are doing this. The interesting thing that I have learned through the pandemic was, So I know before this, there was this like self-care hashtag going around. There was a little bit of negative connotations with that. But now I think that people have realized that might be frivolous, but it's this deeper wellness and health, and there's nothing wrong with that. So that is important. I think it's a little bit different. And it was interesting. A lot of my female friends have said it's the first time ever they haven't felt guilty for taking time for themselves to have a time out or go for a walk or exercise, because they're busy moms, they're working moms. They're usually the main caregiver in the relationship. And so that was an interesting thing too. They were saying that it's the first time they've not felt guilty taking time for themselves. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point too. I think there's just there's less stigma around that, right? And many leaders have recognized that. Not everybody. I mean, I think it's still going to be a difficult time in terms of recognizing that leaders are going to play a bigger role in the health and wellness of their
team. Well, they're more accountable too, right?
100%. I think they're more accountable, and I think there could be some good things that come out of this. I really wanted to do this segment, honestly, just to say to people out there, you know, maybe you're on Instagram like I am, and you're seeing all these people who are posting that they, you know, they finally gotten really fit, or they started running during the pandemic because they had more time. But there's a lot of people who are living on the other side of that, and that's not easy. Yeah. So please let us know what you think. You can find us online at Amber Mack and at MBancroft80. And of course, please use the hashtag TheFeed.
This is The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B on SiriusXM Canada Talks, channel 167.